Is God a good God? Be careful. I'm going to ask again. Is God a good God? Is God in control? So then, if God is a good God, and if God is in control, can we wait patiently for him to intervene? We should. We try. We want to. But how many, like myself, and as you heard this morning from your pastor who is honest, we fail. But you know what? Here's the beauty of it all. God knows we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And God knows that there are moments we are weak. And God knows that there are times we falter, faint, and fail. But I believe in Jesus' prayers. When he said to Peter, I have prayed that your faith will fail not. Oh, but didn't his faith fail when he walked on the water a few steps and began to sink? No, his courage failed, but not his faith. Because if Jesus is praying for something not to happen, it's not going to happen. So I believe that when Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father interceding, praying, taking our place before the Father on behalf of those who are his, I have faith in his prayers. I am grateful when people say, we're praying for you. And I love it when people say, we're always praying for you. I don't say that anymore because sometimes I forget to pray for you. I try. My mother always said, we're always praying for you. Well, she did. She had a list about as long as her arm. And always pray down that list. But you know what? Jesus' prayers can be trusted because he never fails. So we find that it is ever so important that we learn to trust this God we profess and claim to be so good. Now, the problem lies when we allow the devil to sow seeds of doubt. How can he be such a good God if he allows and put in there whatever you would like? What kind of good God allows thieves to break into a church and steal things like what happened to this church and two other churches the same week? And while the cops were here, they were stealing another church, inside another church. What kind of God is that? Isn't he concerned? Well, of course he is. So then how can you consider him such a good God? Well, I'll tell you how. Thank God nobody was in here that when the thieves entered in, who knows who could have been shot, stabbed, or whatnot. Thank God they didn't deface this beautiful building. Thank God they couldn't take the pulpit. They tried to take the piano. It didn't work. They tried to take that. They couldn't. Thank God for so many. So they took a few pieces of electronics. That's why we have insurance. You see. Oh, but if God is such a good God, then why does he allow certain things to happen in your life? Have you ever heard people like that? You try to witness to them about the goodness of Jesus. God can't be such a good God. Look what he allows to happen. Listen, much of what happens in this world is our own choosing. People make choices. They don't like the consequences. Evil doesn't come from God. Evil comes as a result of sin. And sin has its consequences. But you might say, well, then if God is ever so good and supposedly he has given his angels charge over us and supposedly goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives and supposedly he never leaves us nor forsakes us, where's such a good God? Has it ever crossed your mind? Have you ever been tempted to think, maybe not as good as I thought? Don't ever allow that lie to enter your mind. God is as good as the Bible says he is. I begin with this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I wouldn't die for you. I wouldn't die for your sins. If your salvation depended on my dying for you, bye-bye, you're on your way to hell forever. But God, in his infinite mercy, gave up his only begotten son, who in turn said, I've come to do the will of my Father who sent me. How can anyone ever think we don't serve a good God? The only reason you're here free from sin this morning is because we have a good God. That in his graciousness and in his love and in his mercy, he had someone die in our stead. He is a good God. Well, then why do bad things happen to good people? That's a book written by a rabbi from New York City. And it's an interesting book. You might want to try to Google it and see if you could find it. Well, I'll tell you why. Because the bad things that can happen and do happen only augment the goodness of God. That through it all, he carries us and strengthens us and supports us and sustains us so that when our faith, which is more precious than gold, is tried by fire, it comes out pure and strengthened, and we can declare God is a good God. Listen, we've all been through things in life. There isn't a human being, no matter where you're from, no matter where you are, we all go through things in life. And while we're going through whatever it is we're going through, the only way that I know to go through it and come out in victory is keep your eyes on Jesus. Can't look at the pastor, can't look at people, can't look at the church. All those come and go, rise and fall. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the only one who does not fail. So what could possibly be good when we go through difficult things? One, your faith is strengthened. Your faith is strengthened. Listen, any pediatrician will tell you, any veterinarian will tell you, animals and people need exercise in order to strengthen their muscles and their joints and their ligaments. What you don't use, you lose. If you become a couch potato, don't join up for the Olympics. About the best you could do is roll over and warm up the other side of the couch. But if you want your muscles to be strengthened, you've got to flex them and exercise. You know, my wife and I go to gym 3 times a week. You got to see that girl lift weights. I kid you not. I got the ring right there on my ring. We go into a gym. Medicare pays for it. We're both now at that age. It's the truth. And there she is pumping iron. I'm doing exercise. I look in the mirror and say, whoa. This is all muscle. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. And so your faith needs exercising. Why? Because God wants us to have a faith that can hold onto the rock when the storms come. But is it possible that God is so busy with so many people that he kind of forgets? Oh, no, 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 no. God does not forget. You know, he's the only one who has a perfect on-time track record, never arrives late, never gets there ahead. In fact, God doesn't have to arrive or come. He's always been there. I will never leave nor forsake. Before you arrive, he's there. What it is we focus on the problem instead of on the problem solver. We focus on the problem instead of on the problem solver. Why bother praying if you're not going to hold on in faith? But pray. Because maybe somewhere along the line, as has happened to me over and over and over again, you finally see it and you grip it and you don't let go. We need to have a faith which is like a pit bull grip. 2,000 pounds of pressure, when it clenches its teeth onto something, it won't let go. That's the kind of faith we need. Your teeth might come out, but it's still hanging on there. And when we believe what the Bible says, and if you look with me at Psalm 38, verse 8, you have to stop and say, yes, I believe it. You know what? I got the wrong verse. How could that possibly be? No, that's not the one I want. I must have been tired when I wrote these notes. Let's try Psalm 85:5. And if that doesn't work, we'll continue preaching anyway. And when you go home, you look for the scripture. Oh, yeah, I'm in a bad state of affairs. Well, we'll take Psalm, let's go look at Psalm 85. You showed favor to your land, O God, beginning of verse 1. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turn from your fierce anger. Restore us again, O God, our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promises peace to his people, his saints, but let them not turn to folly. Is that a good God? Or is that not a good God? What God can forgive sin and look at you, a forgiven sinner, as if you've never sinned? And their sins I will remember no more. If God did nothing more than provide the cross of Calvary, we owe him thanks until the day we die, and he owes us nothing more than that. But he continues to lavish upon our lives blessing after blessing after blessing, mercy upon mercy. Why? Because he is a good God. Because he is a good God. We thank him because he is good. We thank him because he is faithful. We thank him because he never fails. We thank him because he is always there when we need him. He is a good God. You ever get frustrated with your dentist, with your doctor? You have to make an appointment, and then they call you. Can you change your appointment, please? Happened to me the other day. I made an appointment 2 weeks in advance. And I get a phone call. Can you change your appointment by 15 minutes? Okay. Oh, by the way, can you change it for a half hour? I said, okay. And before they could say, can you change it again, I hung up because I figured, boy, they're going to have me hanging on here and hanging on there and hanging on there. And you know what? It happens over and over. Look at the pastor and his wife, what they went through. We're going to close on Friday. No, we're not. We're closing on Monday at 10 o'clock. Oh, wow, 10 o'clock. No, we're not. We're closing at 2 o'clock. Hopefully. Maybe. That's what it seems like. Ah, but God doesn't play those games. What God says he does, and he doesn't come back and say, excuse me, we need to change your appointment. I got to take care of the Burnley family. And their problems are so difficult, I don't know. And then maybe on the way back to you, I have to go to Sherry's house. Because she's got a load of problems. And it just might happen before I can get back to Pastor Lawrence, his wife Candace might step in the way and say, hey, Lord, here am I. 10 million can come to God, and he's got all the time and all the patience, all the grace, all the strength, and all the solutions in the world. He never fails. Never fails. Listen, be honest. When was the last time God arrived late for your situation? Doesn't happen. It's not in his vocabulary. He's an on-time God. We think it's late. I'm ahead of myself. Let's go back. God is a good God. Amazing. Amazing. And you know what? We don't deserve his goodness. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What does the Bible tell us in the 19th chapter of Matthew, verse 17? Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied. There is only one, and it's a capital O, who is good. And that's God. That's God. So the difficulties that he allows to come our way serve a great purpose. They strengthen our faith. They strengthen our courage. And they give us a new focus to keep following hard after the Lord. Your Problems serve a good purpose, believe it or not. They make you a better person. Now, is God in control? If you've ever raised children, you might have had to use that authority time and again. I'm the parent here, not you. Ever hear that? I'm in charge, not you. It seems that as time goes on, the younger children are, the more they want to flex their muscles and kind of make you feel you're obsolete. We're in charge. And in many situations, kids are more in charge than the parents. We went through that. We had four children. They turned out all right. But there were times we had to let them know who the boss was. I had one way of doing it. My wife had a different way of doing it. But they got the message. They got the message. And many times the devil comes along and says, you know what, the God you serve, he's not that big, he's not that great. Look how he drops you from time to time. God never drops anybody. We turn from him, but he never turns from us. Neither will I forsake thee. Never. When I say never, you know, people say don't ever say never. With God, you can say he never. He will never leave. He will never forsake. Many times the clouds of life will obscure his lovely face. Means nothing. Means nothing. He's still there. The fact that you don't see the sun shining, listen, whoever shut the sun off? It burns and burns and shines and shines. So for a moment you don't see it, means absolutely nothing. So for one instant you don't feel God. Whoever talks about feeling God? It's by faith. He's there whether you feel or don't feel. Oh, you must live such a very victorious life. Ha! More times than I care to admit or even remember, there were moments and have been moments, and most likely will be moments of desperation. Oh, you shouldn't make such a negative confession. Would you stop it and let's just be in the real reality of life? My God, my God! You want to finish the statement? Why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, was that Peter in a moment of frustration? Or was that John? No, that was Jesus, the Son of God. Why did God allow him to go through that moment where he felt abandoned by the Father so that when you and I go through those moments where we feel abandoned, we could turn to one who's been there, done that, and say, I understand. I felt that way on the cross of Calvary when he didn't turn his back on me, but that's what it felt like, but rather on the sin that I became. That's what God the Father turned his back on. But many times Satan will come and say, you see, he really doesn't care for you like you think he does. And why? Because he makes you focus more on your difficulty and your problem and your deep valley and your dark night, and you lose sight of him. Is it no wonder that the author to the book of Hebrews said, let's run this race? How? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's the only way to do it. You can't always find the pastor. You can't always find someone in the church. The doors won't always be open. You can always find Jesus. Always find Jesus. He's there all the time. What was it, midnight? I scared the daylights out of everybody in the hotel. I woke up screaming like an idiot. Jesus! Rarely, but I had me the mother of all nightmares last night. And I screamed, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I felt a hand on my shoulder. I said, is he that real, that near? It was my wife. She says, would you shut up and go back to bed? Had a nightmare. Not often, but man, I had a doozy last night. I don't know what happened. Maybe we're just too tired moving, lifting boxes, packing our house, helping our children, help them. Whatever it was, isn't it good to know when you call Jesus, he's there? But it wasn't Jesus' hand. Listen, I'll take her hand any day. Just to know that she was there to sue. And she brought me something to drink. She's going, it's okay, don't shh. Now I lay me down to sleep. Oh, Lord. God is in absolute control. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care the circumstances that we see. And listen, we're living in a world that is nothing but pure upheaval. It is getting worse, worse, worse. And I would beg of you, don't take sides. We're not called by God to be Democrats, Republicans, liberals, or conservatives, or independents. We're called to be believers in Jesus. Yes. Heed these words. Let us focus on him who has this whole world in his hands. Remember that. Remember that. He has absolute control. Many times we lose sight of that, and that's where the problems really begin. I want to get to a scripture here, and I pray that it is the right one. I've never in all my born days messed up my scriptures as I have this morning. Not messed up the scripture, but the sequence. In Matthew 28, verse 18, the Bible says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" Who's in control? God is in control. All. Not sharing authority with anyone. All authority. So that when you see whatever it is you see and you hear what the biased news media has to tell you, listen, they're all off the wall. Go back to God's word. It's the only thing that's right. And believe what the Bible says. He does not lie. All authority has been given to me. Authority in heaven, authority on earth. Now turn with me to the Gospel of John. Let's look at chapter 3 at verse 31. John chapter 3, verse 31. The one who comes from above is above all. That's Jesus. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. And then that phrase again is repeated. The one who comes from heaven is above all. Well then, if all authority was given to him, how is it that the Romans had the power to crucify him? They didn't. How is it then that the religious leaders who hated him managed to influence Pontius Pilate against Jesus? They didn't. Well, then how did he end up on the cross? He volunteered. Because Jesus said, "No one takes my life. No one. No one." He submitted to the will of his Father who sent him. The Romans couldn't take Jesus. If Jesus would have called to the Father would have sent a legion of angels and wiped them all off the map. But Jesus understood, no, 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 this is not why I'm here. He had the authority to submit to God's will, or he had the authority to do what he wanted to do. He chose the first part, which was the best. So don't ever think that they put him on that cross. Physically, yes, but in no other sense, because it was his decision to obey the Father's will. And it was the Father's decision, because he's such a good God, that he gave up his only begotten Son. He is a good God. He is in control. Don't think for one instant that he doesn't know what comes your way. Many times you, well, where in the world is God? Where is he? Just because he doesn't, I even hate to use this because it's almost contradictory, show up when you think he has to? No. He's an on-time God, perfect, perfect track record, never late. You know when you get a credit report, don't you like the part where it says never late, never late, never late, never late, never late, never late? Of course, you don't have that kind of credit, but anyway, it's good to have that kind where you're never late, never late, never late, never late, never late. Well, God is never late. Again, I come back with this question. Show me once in your life when Jesus arrived late. You might feel that way, but never happened. Never happened. Oh, I admitted to my wife a couple of weeks ago, there were moments of absolute desperation where I felt this is it. It's all over with. Is this the way I'm going to end? I'm telling you, you talk about forget senior moment. I had a carnal, fleshly moment. I said, Lord, is this the way it's going to end? And my wife had gone to Argentina to visit her mother. Someone provided her airfare. I was going to see her 2 weeks after that. And I was alone in the house. Lights out, windows closed, shades down. It's the way I like it when I'm alone. Don't bother me. Feeling sorry for myself. Of course, that never happens to you. That only happens to me, right? Just that little pity party. I sent out 1,000 invitations. Nobody responded. Why waste the postage? Nobody comes to your pity parties. They're having their own. Lord, is this the way it is? Phone ring. Pastor Impaglia, how are you? Oh, good. Then I had to say, Lord, forgive me. Guess what I just heard? What? There's a church on an island. If you don't know that Manhattan is an island, look at your book, your maps. It's an island. I wasn't lying when I said our church is located on an island. I didn't tell you what part of the island, but it's right there. The pastor's leaving, and I told him you're the man that they need to get. I said, but you didn't ask me. He said, I didn't have to because I know you. This, that, and the other was Pastor Joseph Zeno. You remember him? He's always trying to get me into a church. He says, I already gave your phone number. They're going to call you and ask if you want to go. The man calls me the next day. Would you be willing to come and be our pastor? His name is Prasad Vernagalia from India. I said, I'll visit you. Good. The more we talked, he said, hurry up and get here because the timing is right. Our lease is up. You can come. The pastor's leaving. You'll fit right in. I said, but you don't know me. He says, yeah, that's okay. Come. You've been highly recommended. And that's exactly what's happening. So here comes the last question. And with this, in about another 40 minutes, I'll finish. Can you wait for God to intervene? That's the difficult part. Can you wait for God to intervene? We get caught up in the syndrome called nail-biting syndromes down to the nubs, where you bite, 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 and then you finally hit the knuckle, say, wait a minute, there's no more nail. Listen, people, we have a choice. Either we invest in Tums and Alka-Seltzer, right, because of the acid indigestion from worrying, or we're going to have to get, what is it that they use to calm up here, Prozac? Then you end up with a Joel Osteen permanent smile. You see? Or you can live in reality and say, Lord, you never fail. You never fail. However long I think you're taking, you never fail. You okay, Christy? Don't cry, honey. Don't cry. Don't cry. Don't cry. Oh, is Joel Osteen a friend? It must be. Okay. My wife reminded me of something this morning. I said, you know what? That's excellent. I'm going to use it. When we first met, we fell in love with each other. Love at first sight. Listen, it's the absolute truth before the Lord. I would not lie to you. It was love at first sight. The problem was 2 years went by before I had the guts to say anything. And she waited 2 whole years. In the interim, there were those vultures floating around trying to win her over. They were as ugly and as homely as you could make them. And my wife reminded me this morning that she prayed and said, Lord, if he's for me, he'll come. But if not, forget him. I'll find somebody else. But God always gives his best to those who wait for him. And I finally had the nerve to send her a birthday card for her birthday, which is also my birthday. And I put in two quarters. We were living in Argentina. I said, hold on to these. Someday you might need them. See, I already had plans for marriage. I hadn't even spoken to her yet, say, would you be my girlfriend? But I didn't have what it took. I was afraid. But she waited and waited. 2 years. Was the wait worth it? Must be 44 years later, we're still together. I'm going to stay at Pastor Lawrence's house tonight because... But listen, people, we laugh a bit because we need to laugh. There's nothing wrong with laughing. But the seriousness of it is, don't lose your faith. Don't give up on God. We need to have our faith like an anchor, which grips the solid rock, Christ Jesus. And what helps our faith is God's unchanging word. Heaven is going to pass away. Earth is going to pass away. But not one jot, not one tittle, not one detail of God's word will ever pass away until it is all fulfilled. However long it takes for us to see the manifestation of the answer, hold on in faith. Hold on in faith. Don't hold on to your dreams. Don't hold on to your visions. Don't hold on to sermons. Don't hold on to experiences. Don't hold on to prophecies. Hold on to God's word. Hold on to God's word. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews there's a time soon coming when everything that can be shaken shall be shaken, so that that which cannot be shaken shall remain. And the only thing that I know that will remain is God's word. Keep your faith in Jesus. We sang it, peace, peace, wonderful peace. When you have absolute confidence in the goodness of God, absolute confidence in the fact that he is in control, you then will have the patience and the faith to wait for God to intervene, however long it takes. Stand with me.